And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go.
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're back with another one quarterback mock draft. This time, we're piggybacking off the one quarterback mock draft that we started with fellow FTN content creator Colin McTaminy. But today I have a different guest with me. This time it is the great Jake Perry, who you can find on X at Perry_FF. Jake, how are you on this lovely Wednesday evening?
Oh, I'm doing good. I got to drink for work today, so you know, already a few beers in, gonna keep it going at this point. Full day of podcasting on the side, so I'm having a blast. Anytime I get to talk about football, though, it's a good day.
You know, football is always a fun thing to talk about, so I agree, and especially when we're talking about rookies. So I'm excited. I'm very glad to have you on here. And again, we got to talk about a little bit of news in Dynasty landscape here. We have Russell Wilson making his way over to the New York Giants there. And, you know, a lot of people are in saying they were going to take a quarterback. Some people now say maybe they don't. Maybe they're holding off for Quinn or for not Quinn Ewers. Oof, that'd be rough, right? For Arch Manning there. But what's your take here? Does this take them out of the quarterback sweepstakes, you think, or does this maybe lead into maybe they are going to kind of maybe even take that shot on some of those players that could need to wait a year, maybe like the Jackson Dart, Shador Sanders, and kind of give him a year to just sit there for a sec, let Russ and or Jameis, depending on how that battle falls out, take this the helm for 2025?
Yeah, I don't think it takes them out of the quarterback conversation by any means, especially when you – like we talk about Shador and what he needs to work on and Dart and what he needs to work on. It's kind of ironic, the two quarterbacks that they ended up bringing in there between Russ and Jameis, because Shador gives you shades of like less athletic Russ in a lot of ways for me. Dart gives me shades of like the good parts of Jameis Winston. So I don't think it takes them out of the quarterback race completely. I think it makes it more likely that they trade out, though. I don't think they're necessarily as tied into the pick as they would be if they didn't bring a quarterback on.
Fair enough. Do you think Russ can, well, I mean, it's probably going to work out, but Malik Nabers can probably play with anybody. I think he proved that already. But do you think this is a little bit more of an uptick for Malik Nabers and that offense with who else they could potentially bring in?
It's possibly a slight uptick, but I mean, I already have Nabers at wide receiver two. So there's not much higher I can take him. I'm not taking him over Jettas just yet off of 1 year of production, as great as it was. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly, catching passes from even this Russ, this shade of Russ, is better than Danny Dimes, Drew Locke, Tommy DeVito, whoever else.
Hey, you can't say bad things about Tommy DeVito, all right?
Hey, I get it.
All right, but continuing close in proximity now and coming back to play the Buffalo Bills twice a season, Stephon Diggs has made his way up to New England. Maybe they're hoping he can help assist in that development of Drake May and give themselves, you know, a improved wide receiver room in what was a very disappointing receiver room last year. With Diggs, obviously over 30, coming off an ACL, what are our expectations for Diggs? He's obviously the guy in that room outside of them bringing somebody in the draft here. But do we expect him to be a fringe top 15 type of player just because of volume? Or do we think that they are going to bring someone in, so we're a little bit more leery as far as Steph goes?
I still like Steph. I still think, depending on price, I'm definitely interested in acquiring him. The way that, especially like if you look at like NFL mock draft database, a lot of the consensus mock drafts that have come out have a lot of the wide receivers falling. In fact, every wide receiver is falling out of the first round at this point. Nobody expects Tet, Emeka, Buka, Burden, any of them to go round one. So that kind of puts them in a prime spot to just be able to take best player available, both at their first pick and do it again in the second round and potentially still bring in a wide receiver threat. I think at minimum bringing Diggs in is, it's good for Drake May's development. I'm a big Drake May guy. I'm glad he proved me right in a lot of ways last year, but he's an upgrade from basically everybody in that room. And it gives them at minimum a veteran presence to help teach guys how to run routes and use their hands effectively, which most of them struggled with at times last year.
Yeah, who needs their hands? Don't need to catch football, right? Not a receiver.
Hey, man.
Do you think it's a little bit of a lure of maybe they could be looking at, like, a Tet McMillan, or just completely waiting and looking at, like, maybe Jaden Higgins or one of the bigger guys there in the second round, and kind of saying, hey, Steph, you could play on the inside, be our slot guy, our Z, and then put either McMillan or, say, Higgins, just using those two as the bigger kind of body players that I could think off the top of my head, out on the edge? Or do you think that that's still they're wide open to probably taking just best receiver they have on their board?
I think they just go best receiver. One of the nice things about Diggs is, even, you know, even if he comes back as 80% of Stephon Diggs, that's a really good receiver. And mm-hmm. he has that flexibility to go inside, you know, play the flanker, play the X. Like, you can move him around the field so effectively that I think it opens up their availability to take whoever they think the best guy is. They should probably take whoever they think isn't the best guy, because clearly their best choice at wide receiver these last few years hasn't worked out for them. But it's a good class. It may not be the most fantasy relevant class in the world, but I think there's a lot of good NFL receivers here. So it opens the board for them in a lot of ways, I think.
Yeah, I still feel like they got to go early. I still feel like Tet or maybe Matthew Golden, it's early. Maybe they trade back or something, but it just feels like now they're full of those fill plug and play type of guys you're going to get a little bit later in this mm-hmm. with Hollins. Honestly, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker are going to seem like that's their trajectory at the moment. It's just going to be a fill in type of receiver. It's almost like at one, do they not at one, but like in the first round, do they just swing for Tet McMillan, like, and give themselves that chance and hope that they can hit that really type of generational wide receiver to pair in that grouping? That's my opinion. I think they should maybe go that route. But like you said, we're looking at a class that has started to slide. You know, we're talking about potentially tight ends early, potentially two in the first round. It's a deep running back class. There's some rumors that's moving up. You're also starting to get that late quarterback push here as we draw towards the draft. And you know, you're going to have probably at least three of them in the first round, etc. It's starting to push some of these receivers down because although it's a, I think it's a solid class, but I don't think it's got that premiere. But it's also how I feel about a lot of these class, this class, the tight end, the running backs. It's lacking a huge high end ceiling talent. Mm-hmm. There's a couple players, but like the depth of this class is just like not average, but like good NFL players, which are going to be yep. good fantasy players. But it's not really like full of like Bijans and like the class of 2017 with Alvin Kamara, et cetera, right. Aaron Jones, like all these guys emerging. I don't know if that's what this class is, but I do think you're going to get a lot of filling in a roster with average, really quality NFL talent players, which may be disappointing for a lot of us in fantasy because you're really looking for those game changers. And I don't know if this class is full of them as mm-hmm. much as we have built it up to be as we've drawn towards the draft here.
Yeah, I think early in, you know, kind of the top six picks after that, you just start getting into really big tiers, which is mm-hmm. an earlier drop off than we've seen. I do agree with you, though. I think it's a deeper class than people are expecting. But like I said, the NFL is going to love a lot of these guys, which means we just have to like them. Like, we don't have mm-hmm. to be in love with really a ton of these prospects just because they're going to get jobs. They're going to perform at least well enough to be wide receiver three flexes for us, be trade bait after big games. Or and if you don't think that, then just wait till you're on the clock, send it for a future first and call it a day.
You heard it here first, Jake. Moving those picks for first round picks or proven assets is always a good way to make that rebuild quicker for you in Dynasty. All right, Jake. We can't talk about the news and trading away the picks. We want to talk about the rookies. That's why we're here. We're going to start this, like I said, if you missed the first episode, you can either go back and listen, or I'm going to give you the quick rundown of what that first round looked like as I pull it up here on the screen. So what we had was Ashton Jeanty, obviously, at first feels like a consensus type of territory here with Jeanty, whether you're one quarterback or super flex. For reminders of the people at home listening, it is a one quarterback mock draft, so
Not going to see a quarterback actually at all in this first 12 picks, but it was Genty, Omarion Hampton comes in at 2, Tet McMillan, Amika Abuka, followed by Luther Burden, Tyler Warren, Quidshon Junkins, Travion Henderson, Travis Hunter, Trey Harris, Caleb Johnson, and Colston Loveland. We rolled with it also being a tight end premium, so one quarterback tight end premium there, Jake. So keep that in mind. Obviously, with a little bit of a deeper class here, maybe in the second round, you'll be looking to dip into that as well. Anything stand out from you between mine and Colin's picks here on the prior episode in the first round?
Yeah, nothing too surprising for me here. My kind of hot takes, I have Henderson at running back 2, so I would have taken him earlier. I have Abuka over Tet, so I'd have taken him as wide receiver 1. But otherwise, I mean, I agree with pretty much everybody here. Maybe not Travis Hunter. My thought on Hunter is he's going to play more corner than wide receiver. And so if I'm at a point in the draft or I'm thinking about drafting Travis Hunter, I'm going to trade out. but otherwise, like, I would be shocked. Maybe the only name in here that you wouldn't consistently see in first rounds is Trey Harris. But
yeah,
at that point in the draft, I mean, these are going to be at least 10 of the 12 guys that you're going to see go in the first round of every one quarterback draft.
Yeah, I feel like you'll see maybe a running back slide in there. I believe Trey Harris was my pick. I really like Trey Harris still. I think that he's going to translate to the NFL a little bit better than what the general consensus, I think, has him at the moment. I do think that there's a potential. I really was keying him in for the Bengals prior to them signing T. Higgins. I thought that he could have been a really good replacement to that. But now that that place is gone, it really kind of maybe allows him to slide a little more. But I still think what he can do at the NFL level should put him into this territory. And as far as the Travis Hunter goes, I agree with you. I still have him in this territory in most of my rankings, just because like he would be probably wide receiver 1 if we knew he was going to play like 80%, 90% wide receiver. Like, yeah. So I feel like once you get to this point in the draft where he was taken, you know, you're looking at a bunch of kind of you're in that second tier. Yeah. So it's like, take your shot. To me, I feel like later in the draft, my team is probably pretty solid. I can afford to maybe take a swing.
Yep.
Depending on what I got, or I got extra picks, you know, I'm taking that swing and potentially he plays enough snaps to really be a viable player. The struggle with Hunter, like you said, is if he isn't playing plethora of snaps, like he'll be a hard weekly start.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
he'll have weeks that he blows up, but like, is it going to be on your bench or in the lineup? So
yeah, we're going to have to like be praying that they list when they do the injury report every week, whether he's on it or not, we just kind of get some indication. Okay, this may be a wide receiver week for Hunter. We don't need him to play corner this time.
Maybe, hopefully they don't give him like a dreaded athlete designation, like the collegiate ranks. All right, I'll let you lead us off here because typically I lead off, but Ashton Genty is just because I lead off. So I let my guest get their first pick of somebody beyond him. So here we're starting in the second round at 2-1 with everybody but those 12 we just mentioned available for your selection. And I will let you lead us off.
Even in one quarterback, I'm tempted to start taking him off the board just because I think there's a lot of, I think the top couple quarterbacks are a little bit underrated or a lot of bit underrated, depending on who you talk to. But seeing Matthew Golden on the board here, that's got to be my pick. I have been a Matthew Golden guy for a while now, especially when you look at the tape that he has when he actually gets to play wide receiver instead of play wide receiver in Texas offense. He's the guy that offers that versatility, that great athletic upside. He gives you just about everything you want in a wide receiver. And especially now that we're in the second round, it's kind of just taking your favorite guys at this point, especially if they have a pretty solid profile. And I think that's where Golden falls for me.
Yeah, I like that. That's about where I have him at this point in my rankings as well. A lot of hype around Golden. I don't know if I'm ready. I see, you know, some people saying the wide receiver one, potentially one of the few that go in the first round. I get it. I do, to an extent, but I still think that I'm not there yet with Matthew Golden. If the draft really tells us that, then sure, I'll probably slide him up a little bit. Definitely a profile that could hit. Like you said, at this point, he could be this year's Brian Thomas if this is where he's sitting. This about that territory. You know, Thomas was a little bit earlier, but in that same category, if you're mentioning Harris or Hunter falling out of the first round there, I like the Matthew Golden selection here. For me, got to see here, where are we going? We're going to dip into the running back pool a little bit, start to talk about them, which is a relief. Feels like a lot of these I've been talking about receivers. I love talking about running backs, especially this class. And one of my favorite in this class is Devin Neal. I will be selecting him here. I know there's some talk he may not go early enough for most people liking in the draft, but I do think he'll go earlier than that is expected that I've seen some of the banter on Twitter as, but I do like Devin Neal. He's kind of one of those silky smooth type of runners. He can quick lateral type of movements and pretty good explosion. I wouldn't say he's a for sure home run type of hitter, but he can get out of the gate well, really quick inside the box, quick feet, good vision, really is going to fit into this majority of the styles that the NFL is going to. A lot more zone blocking has been starting to appear at the NFL level, gives you a little bit more flexibility with your offensive play calling. So I do think that Devin Neal will find a home, especially in this class, and push for some serious playing time early on. And a guy that's had 3 1,000 yard seasons at Kansas and just proven that he can play. And I'm all in there on Devin Neal. All right, Jake, 2-3.
I think I got to do it. I think I got to take Cam Ward off the board here. Even in one quarterback, I think Ward's ceiling is a lot higher than people are giving him credit for. He gives me very much Justin Herbert vibes, not necessarily his play style, although to an extent you see a little bit of that, but it's more of the Justin Herbert was the quarterback one in that class forever. And then we got bored of it. Everybody started finding reasons to dislike him. And I think a lot of what you can knock Ward on, it's a lot of what you can knock most of the Texas players on, is their offense just didn't necessarily give you consistent NFL concepts, give you consistent things to be able to build on. But the dude is the best thrower of the football in the class. I'm not saying he has the most arm talent, but he's the best at delivering passes in the class. He's got enough athletic upside. I'm not expecting top five, top 10 seasons out of him consistently, but if we watch what some of the NFL has as quarterback play right now, Cam Ward's going to be able to come in, especially if he goes to Tennessee, like is projected at this point, pretty much consensus right now. They've rebuilt their offensive line. They're going to have the draft capital this year to build in or bring in some wide receiver talent to add to, you know, Calvin Ridley, as talented as he isn't anymore. But I still think at this point in your drafts is when you got to start looking at these couple quarterbacks that are worth it.
I agree. One quarterback, this is where I start to look, 2-1 to 2-3, 2-4. There's the top couple I have interest in one quarterback. After that, I just don't care, as I would think most people do. But Cam Ward, I 100% agree with you. Much disrespect for what he can do with the football. And I'd mentioned it actually on the YouTube for DLF on Monday when I was on with Addison, that we were talking about receivers, about the guy that I'm going to take next here as well. But they mix between the cover two defenses that we see a plethora of at this moment in time to prevent those types of big plays at the NFL level, paired with the lack of quality quarterback play, really is surprising. So I'm not surprised again for you to reference that as well, to the point of where Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, as much as you want to start knocking those two, or Jackson Dart, like they're pretty on par. At least Sanders and Dart are pretty much on par for what we've seen the NFL roll out in the past few years, and are much more capable of running what they're going to be asked to probably at the NFL. And that knock of like the big arm talent and stuff like that, I get why you want that at the NFL level, but for a league that has started to really limit those big type of plays, being a more accurate intermediate to short type of thrower isn't always the worst situation, at least in the game as it sits for 2025.
We just saw Bo Nix have a great year. I mean, you don't have to have world-beating arm talent anymore. Nope. In the current NFL.
And that's it. You know, it's the shells, it's the cover twos, it's all of that that's really pushing you to force these checkdowns that are causing the lack of that need. Like if you can just articulate the football down the field, you know, 10, 15 yards at a time, or 5, 10 yards at a time, like you're going to move the football down the field. And all three of these top quarterbacks can definitely do that. So I'm in on it there at 2-3. I do love Cam Ward. I was hoping Cam Ward came out last year. Would have had him pretty high last year as well. So he's definitely my quarterback one. I'll give that one away. Pretty obvious for me. I do enjoy me some Cam Ward. But I'm going to go with a slot receiver here in Jalen Noel. Jalen Noel has had some late steam as it's coming on here in the past few weeks since the Senior Bowl and the Combine. Very productive player at Iowa State. One of those guys that really just fits that mold that we just mentioned at the NFL level. That quick separator really can play the Z type of role at the NFL. I think there's a spot for him if he can find the right spot. I'm really hoping maybe like Houston, Dallas, somewhere that he can play as a wide receiver too. And really just benefit from a perimeter X receiver and be moved around a formation with a creative offensive coordinator that can get him some free releases, use that speed and that quick twitch to kind of get open and then just finish those plays like he did at Iowa State. I'm all in on it. I think this is in that tier we mentioned a little earlier of pick your poison. Yep. And I think this class is full of a lot of these players, the Jalen Noels, the Amika Bukas, the Luther Burdens, really more Z type of players that can be productive wide receiver twos on most rosters and not really full of the perimeter X guys that you really have come to love and grow in fantasy. So we also, though, are seeing that Z position really become a little bit more valuable for fantasy. So I'm in on it here at 2-4.
I love Jalen Noel. That pick hurt me because I was going to take him.
I should have let you. You could have talked about him. Would have changed it up.
Hey, it's the way I describe him is he's everything people want Jaden Reed to be.
Yeah.
Like
Tank Dell, same to me.
It's
all those guys that have come out.
Yeah, it's the same kind of player. He's kind of like the best parts of Jaden Reed mixed with the worst parts of Amon-Ra to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to be a very productive NFL player. He's probably going to be my most picked wide receiver from this group.
Especially if he's sitting in this territory.
100%. Now things get interesting. With the premium, do I start to lean into the tight ends a little bit? There's still some good running backs. There's still good wide receivers. I think I got to give
it. Don't let the sleeper ADP get you.
I know.
There's a lot of people out there.
I think I got to give some props here and lean into the love that my boy Mike Cash gives to this guy. I got to go Elike Omenor here. He's a guy who can take over games, and there's not a ton of those guys in the class. Good athlete, good size. If things go properly for him, landing spot's good. We're talking about potentially one of the steals of the draft. He's not going to be as big of a steal as like a Puka or an Amon-Ra was in their groups, but the upside is equal to, if not greater than, anybody left on the board.
I 100% agree. I like AO Manor. Really a guy that fits that X type of role that we're looking for in this class. It's really between him, Higgins, and Tet McMillan as far as the two, or the three, we should say, perimeter type of receivers that are really close to those takeover game elite type of potential players. So I like that pick here. I think that that's a wise choice. I'm going to stay similarly towards that West Coast if I can find him listed in here. And I'm going to dip into the running back pool. I'm going to take Cam Escadaboo. Easy guy to root for. That was a great run there in the college football playoff. Very productive for Arizona State. Contact balance is one, if not some of the best, obviously with Ash and Genty in the class, hard to beat that, but very, very close. Doesn't have necessarily the explosiveness that Genty has, but a very good tackle breaker, low bowling ball type of runner, loves to lean into that contact, but also a productive pass catcher, not necessarily an Alvin Kamara or a Jahmyr Gibbs, but he'll be asked to do what most NFL running backs can do, and he can do that. So for me, I like Cam Escadaboo. He's not the most athletic player, but he's a guy that can just play football. And I think in the right spot, right system, there's going to be a role for him. And that could be that David Montgomery. I know I've seen some comps to David Montgomery as a player, but that type of role, the Brian Robinson type of role, where you're kind of a two down grinder, but you see some third down work, and in the right spot, you get an offense. You know, you could be the red zone threat that really just punches home touchdowns. And We know how touchdowns go in fantasy. We want those players, and I think Scadaboo could be that player here in the second round. And where this running back class starts to get a little bit wider open, you can pick your poison.
I don't love Scadaboo personally, but I get it. Like you said, I feel like 90% of this running back class, you can just comp to James Conner,
mm-hmm.
David Montgomery, Brian Robinson, like you said, Najee to an extent too. Like, it's a bunch of those dudes. And yeah, they're not exciting, but those are 1,000-yard rushers in the NFL who can catch passes and score touchdowns. We like that. Those score points.
Touchdowns score points. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna stick on the running back train with you. I got to take Dylan Sampson here.
All right. I like it.
It's productive in a hard conference. We love that. Yeah, not the biggest guy in the world. It's fine. We've shown we don't need that anymore. My favorite part, we were again talking about this with Mike Cash and Evan, one of my other co-hosts over at the FFRPG guys. Like, some of the plays you watch Samson, and it's like people just forgot he was on the field. Whether he was like using his blockers effectively to shield himself because he was tiny, or does some of the Lamar Jackson-esque things where it's like, how did he not get tackled there? I don't know. You see some of that in the game. The upside is great. And again, in this tier, we're taking guys that we like, that we think have that upside. I know some of the draft analysts really, really love him. I think Lance Zierlein gave him his third highest grade amongst running backs in the class. So, you know, people in the know love him, which means I have to like him. And I like Dylan Sampson.
Yeah, I like Dylan Sampson. I do. I'm not going to lie to you. In a different class, I'd have him much higher. I know that the size has become a little bit less of a concern, but it does still concern me. I'm a little old school, I guess, in that category. But a guy, like you said, 1,400 yards this past season, 22 touchdowns, muchly following up in that Jalen Wright type of territory, but a very bursty, patient type of runner that, like you said, surprisingly comes out of the backfield and you're kind of like, whoa, where'd he come from? And then he's 10 yards down the field. So doesn't necessarily have the home run speed that you would love for a guy his size, but bursty enough really kind of gets you those 10, 15 yard chunks, which is really all you need to be a viable NFL running back. So I like that spot for Dylan Sampson. And like you said, I feel like this, once we've hit this tier of the Neil Scadaboo, Sampson, Gordon, etc. type of tier, it's really going to fall into where do they land? What's their draft capital? What's the opportunity path, et cetera, to really kind of shake these things out. You know, if Scadaboo ends up behind David Montgomery in Detroit, like, you kiss it goodbye. You know, like, he's going to, you'll still be a draftable player, but you're not taking him this high for sure. So, and, you know, same for Sampson. If he ends up behind somebody that has a similar role, we're not going to be as much in love with Dylan Sampson. So a little bit of ways to go, but I do like that pick there for you. I'm going to go ahead and stick here to a guy that I haven't talked a ton about yet. So I'm going to talk about him. He's in that tier of wide openness, so why not? We've already taken one Texas receiver. Let's take the next in Isaiah Bond. We talked about it with Jalen Noel as far as that kind of Z type of slot receiver has really started to take over this game that we call the NFL. And I think Isaiah Bond can be that at the next level. A lot of people are down on him after he sustained a pretty good ankle injury this past year and kind of really had hindered him for a majority of the season, as well as through the combine. I know his combine wasn't ideal, but another one of those players that can just play. And it's not like he ran a 4.8 like some other players that we have to talk about probably soon. So we're still in, for me at least, on Isaiah Bond. The profile's there, a former high recruit, played at Alabama before he came over to Texas and was fairly productive. I like what he can do as far as the speed goes on the game speed, a good separator, good hands. And I think this past season was just a down year due to injury, just struggled to get back to full health. And I think there's a lot to come from Isaiah Bond still here at the NFL level.
I agree. I'm still in on him at the right price. It's like we talked
about the price, Jake.
Yeah. Once I'm out of what I consider premium draft capital, I'd rather take shots on guys like him that could be great than going for guys who will be wide receiver threes at their ceiling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all you at 2-9.
I know. I think I gotta lean into my gut here. I know people don't love him as much as they did previously, but I still love Harold Fannin, and especially with the premium here, he's got to be my guy off the board. You can't discount what Harold Fannin did last year. It was a great season. I get it. Not a great conference, but he was the first tight end in FBS history to win Conference Player of the Year. He was first team All-MAC, John Mackey finalist, 117 receptions, 1,555 receiving yards. Like, you can't discount that level of production. I get the knocks that he may be a tweener, you know, maybe not good enough as a blocker and big enough to be a consistent tight end, not going to be better than a lot of teams' wide receivers. But if we've noticed anything, if I've noticed anything from the NFL, teams are willing to take shots on tight ends that can just be pass catchers. They're not asking these guys to block consistently in certain offenses. He's going to be a lot more landing spot dependent, but he's a guy that if you get him in the right landing spot, he can be what, you know, people hope Cole Kmet can be, or people hope Pat Freiermuth can be.
Yeah, I'm in on that. I'm in that category that thinks he's a tweener. I think he's Isaiah Likely, just a little less athletic overall. But he did what you're asking. You know, like you said, you can discount it and say he played in the MAC. But we had this argument even, and Jared Patterson's probably not the greatest comparison considering he is not much in the NFL anymore. But
it was like 5-6.
Yeah, but he did what Jared Patterson did was dominate the MAC. What Harold Fannin did was dominate the MAC, like dominate the MAC. So when you're asking and you're playing in a lower conference, that's what I look for. Like, if you're just good in the MAC, like, okay, there's some real questions of, are you going to be good at the NFL? But with what Harold Fannin did, that's a statement saying he probably could have played at a better conference and still been a productive tight end when you're considering most tight ends enter the NFL with like maybe a 400-yard receiving season. And Harold Fannin, you know, three times that this past year. So what I worry about is what you had mentioned, the tweener, the lack of blocking. It's going to be landing spot dependent, like you said, as well as with that comes the personnel dependency. Mm-hmm. Like, he can't survive in a role where it is like Isaiah Likely, you know, like where there's kind of, you're like a receiver, but there's still two good receivers. There's also the run game. Like, then you also have another tight end. Like, he's really going to have to be like David Njoku or Trey McBride and have like the second option, Zach Ertz last year, that second or third option in a passing attack. That's where he's going to have to be. I also think some creativity with him. I don't know if he's going to necessarily be like a full-on route runner. Like, if they can get him some creative touches, might be a little bit better for Harold Fannin at the next level.
Yeah, he gives me less athletic Jonnu vibes in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I think Jonnu's a prime example of that. Like, when he's been in offenses that fit his skill set, he's been successful and has been a very productive fantasy player. It's going to take more of that. I think there's definitely, you know, there's a lot of tight ends in this class that have huge amounts of upside. And I don't know if Fannin is the highest upside or highest floor, for example, but I think the upside is really, really close to any of the guys that are up there.
I agree. I feel like in this tier, I do lean a little bit sometimes to like Arroyo or Mason Taylor, Luke Lacy, Terrence Ferguson, just because I feel like their floors are a little safer. But of the group, I mean, Harold Fannin probably showed you the most high-end ceiling if he can manage to do what he did at the collegiate level in college or at the NFL level. All right. So you're leaving me wide open here on the board. I like this.
Got some mock
with you more often. I might just make you join all my leagues. Be all the other managers so I can get all the players I want. No, we're going to dip back into the running back pool here. A guy that I think has been very much disrespected through this process. I've seen a little bit of good love coming the last few weeks, but Damian Martinez out of the University of Miami, three back-to-back 900-plus rushing yard seasons, one as a freshman over in the Pac-12 there with Oregon State. However, it wasn't the most exciting year, I would say. You probably thought him coming to Miami, this would be, woo, let's unlock him. really didn't get there. Got to that 1,000 at 1,002, but Cam Ward really stole the show in that Miami offense. So still to put up 1,000 yards and be a productive runner, much that I like. Physical guy, speedy, bursty type of player, not the most elusive, but a guy that has good vision, good first, second level burst, good ability to kind of run, whether that's a gap or a interior type of zone scheme. Really unique in that way, has the ability to be a pass catcher as well. Kind of one of those guys that falls into this territory for me that could still be a three down workhorse type player, where I feel like a lot of these in this category start to be a little bit more specific, like Sampson, Scadaboo, Neal feel more like early down guys, maybe a little bit more upside, where like Martinez, if it's the right spot, maybe more productive than all of these guys we've already taken, because he could earn himself a three down role. Kind of in that he doesn't play like Ramondre Stevenson, but a similar trajectory that we saw with Ramondre Stevenson. It was a guy that got drafted, didn't really go super high in rookie drafts, but once he was given that opportunity in New England, was fantasy gold. So I think we could see something with that with Martinez, because I do think he still goes a little bit later. But I do still like Damian Martinez's upside.
I agree. He's been kind of one of the like diamonds in the rough for me most of the process. Mm-hmm. So I can't knock the pick in any way, shape, or form.
Oh. I like that. And again, I like when people agree with me.
Hey. I'm about to agree with you again, just because you've mentioned this guy's name quite a few times, and I think this is the range I'm comfortable starting to take him. Jaden Higgins. Again, when I'm at this point in the draft, I want guys who can have that upside to be a high-level producer. The floors may be garbage, and I'm fine with that. But Jaden Higgins, like you said, fits that prototypical X size, has the athleticism to an extent, like, that we're looking for. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's 6'4", 215, ran a 4.54, or, you know, just under a 4.540, good vertical, good broad jump, has the athletic profile of everything that we need. Again, you can say, you know, didn't always play the greatest competition in the world. I mean, we're talking Eastern Kentucky and Iowa State. He's not beating people in the SEC like that, but is there another guy in this class that has his ceiling as an X receiver? I don't think so. I think if we're talking pure ceiling, I think his is higher than just about anybody in the class. The likelihood he hits it, pretty low. But if everything were to fall into place, I don't know if you can match it.
I feel like he's a discounted Tet McMillan, really. Yeah. I think they're very similar players in a way. My worry with Jaden Higgins is that if you watch a lot of his Iowa State tape this past season, he was more used as like a Z and kind of pushed into the slot to get those free releases, which worries me that they were afraid he couldn't beat press coverage. Which if he does project probably to be an X, he's going to see a lot of that at the NFL with much more physical corners. So a little bit of a worry there. Does need some development as far as a route runner goes, but I do agree with you. I think that the ceiling is there for Jaden Higgins. This is the perfect spot for him. This is where I have him in my rankings. I think that this territory is a really nice spot for him because the upside is there and you're taking some swings here. If you don't need a running back, I'm all in on Jaden Higgins. Another guy that I really like, and we're going to close it out with this guy, another receiver to be surprising, which is surprising. We talk about how good this running back class is, and we only took three in the second round. So either we're being a little contrarian here, or maybe we're just overhyping that running back class. And again, landing spots are so dependent for running backs. But for me, it's Jalen Royals in this territory. I think that this receiver class, I mentioned it earlier, is a little bit deeper than people think. I think a lot of them fit today's game. And Jalen Royals is one of those, a guy that is pretty good with the ball in his hands. Doesn't have that top end speed, but a quick guy. He can be surprisingly elusive at times, physical type of receiver, a little bit of that Brandon Ayuk, Stephon Diggs type of attitude to his game. He, again, another player, much like Isaiah Bond, who I took not too long ago. Injuries just kind of let him fall off the map. He had a pretty solid Senior Bowl, a decent combine, and playing at Utah State, you know, that helmet isn't as attractive as an LSU helmet or a Texas helmet. So the name hasn't been really thrown around there that much, but a guy that can really play as a Z and or X and really, like I said, has those shades of early on Stephon Diggs, Brandon Ayuk. He's going to need a little bit of development, but I do think there's a ceiling here as a very strong, productive Z receiver at the next level.
Where I like Royal over a lot of the other receivers that are still available is a lot of his game is NFL ready. He puts himself in good positions to make these catches. He knows what he wants to do with the ball before he gets it in his hands. Like you said, he needs work. We're in the second round. Every one of these guys needs work or needs a lot of things to go their way. But he has a lot of the things that you cannot teach. He has a lot of that football instinct that people talk about. And it's made him one of my favorite guys. I don't know if I'd take him here, mostly because I don't know if I have to. I think he's one of those. He's one of these guys. Like if we're doing this as we are, which is mostly just us taking guys that we like at picks that fall into our lap here. If I can wait until the third round for him, I'm going to. But also, if I start to get worried that he's coming off the board, I'm not afraid to trade up a little bit and attack him because, like you said, dude's good.
And it's sitting here now. You can definitely get that. I'm just thinking this is probably where he settles. I really do. Once he gets drafted, I think he's going to get a good landing spot. Truthfully, I think he's going to get decent draft capital. And I think you could see him push up. But like you said, and that's with any of these picks. If you're listening and you're paying attention, you're going to get some good advice from Jake and myself. The biggest thing that I like to say is, although there's rankings, it doesn't mean that's where you have to take people. Yeah. The mesh of the rankings and ADP is your friend, and that's where you really want to find that sweet spot. You can know, hey, the ADP is really low on Jaden Royals. Do you wait all the way to that ADP? No, because there's a chance he goes earlier. But if you have him ranked as wide receiver 5, you don't have to take him at 5. Take somebody else, you know, go a different position and then kind of wait until your next pick. If he falls in between that midpoint of the ADP in your rank, there you go. You get two of your top 10 players. It's a little secret hack for
you players. It's why I always advocate ranking in tiers. Once you know what tier he's in, you know where you're comfortable taking him. You know the players that you prefer at least an equal amount to him. So you know when you need to get aggressive, when you can kind of lean back, because you can compare that to the consensus rankings that are out there that half of your friends that aren't ranking players are using to draft these guys in order. If you have your own ranks and they're tiered, you know when to be aggressive. You know when you don't have to be. One of my favorite examples for this is I tweeted earlier this year and I said, or might have been early 2025, late 2024, that Puka should probably be in the conversation for wide receiver 1 in Dynasty. And so everybody was like, oh, so you trade Ja'Marr Chase straight up for him? No. Because the market is telling me I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
The market has told me he's not valued at the same level, but if I think he can be that level, sure, I will trade Ja'Marr Chase for Puka, but I'm going to do that knowing I'm going to get something else on top of it too to make that investment worth my while.
And that's how you get good fast. Now, the problem is you just got to get it right all the time, right, Jake?
I try.
Which doesn't happen, all right?
I'm sorry to everybody that I said Deontay was going to be fine this year. I apologize. It didn't happen.
I was on the Deontay train too. But you know, I liked Denzel Mims in the past. Like, there's a lot of people that rookies especially turn into a very big crapshoot more times than not. But Jake, of people that were not taken here, just what's one name that you can think of deeper that you are potentially looking at later in the draft as your sleeper, we'll call it, even though those don't exist anymore?
Yeah, I think my sleeper, it's really going to be positionally dependent. I'm going to name two guys. I'm going to fib a little bit here. So tight end, you already kind of mentioned him earlier, Mason Taylor. He's got those NFL bloodlines. Dude hit like 25 miles an hour. If we're to believe the on-screen radar at the combine, when he was doing the gauntlet drill, he's got a lot of upside at the tight end position. And then one other guy that I know for a fact I'm above market on is Jack Beck. Mm-hmm. Dude can play wide receiver, and that's what matters a lot of time. Not flashy, not going to, he's not Cooper Kupp. I'm not saying that, but there's shades of that type of player, that gritty, mm-hmm. will do what he has to do to get the yards, knows what he has to do to get open. I like him a lot. He's a guy
that just scream a Rams receiver.
He does. And it would be, that would be, I would be, I'd be more shocked if they don't take him than if he were to go and, like, if a team were to reach for him in the first round, I would be more shocked if that team isn't the Rams than anything in the world.
Like, I could see a 49er receiver though, too. 49er kind of mesh it in there a little bit IU Debo, a little physicality to his game, not, you know, little scheme touches. I could see it, but
I could.
There's, I like Bash. I think he's a guy that's later in the draft that that you could be convincing me on. Really want to see landing spot and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people at this point. It's all landing spot. Like, yeah. Past the second round, if I like the landing spot, I'm going to like the guy more than I did prior.
Yeah. 100%. That's the Puka Nacua secret as well. Why did most of us that I know in the fantasy space like Puka Nacua, it was a good landing spot for his skill set and what he was potentially going to get used for. Secret, that one worked out. Just saying, that's what it works out to be. All right, Jake, before you get out of here, let everybody know where they can find you and anything that you got coming up here.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter, X, at Perry_FF. I tweet most of my stuff there. If you play DFS, specifically in the PGA side of things, I do that all of that content over for Fantasy Alarm. You can find a little bit of everything, whether it's football, golf, entertainment. You can find that over at IBT Media, In Between Media. I'm over there as well. Then if you like D&D, I got a D&D podcast as well called Knights of the Appropriately Shaped Table.
There you go. Jake's busy all the time.
I already mentioned it, but fantasy football, I'm doing some stuff with IBT now. I'm doing some stuff with FFRPG with my buddy Mike Cash, but maybe more on the horizon. We'll see.
Busy. He's just signed up for everything. Jake's I'm just doing, like, hey, whatever. I got 7 days a week. I'll sign up for 10 podcasts. I'll make it work.
My dogs hang out in the room with me. They make it easy for me so I can do all this stuff.
Yeah, I wish my daughter would do that. No, she wants to play with, like, her toys as a 2-year-old. Who does that, right?
So rude.
Either, I know, right? Gosh, kids, no. Wouldn't trade it for anything. But either way, make sure you follow Jake. Make sure you follow FTN Fantasy as well on all the socials at FTN Fantasy. Follow myself on the X or Blue Sky at Pope's FFH. And before you get out of here, as always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It is greatly appreciated, near and dear to my heart. And then, as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.